One of the speakers that we had there, we're going to chat with today, and that is Steve Yoder. Welcome, Steve. So glad that you're here. No problem. And so Steve, we're going to kind of hear his story, his testimony as a business leader. And I love being a pastor. I love preaching to you and other pastors, but this will be somebody who kind of is where you are in many of you in life and doing business and stuff. So,
well, thank you for having me here.
Yeah,
it's been an honor for me to be here and be able to share my testimony and hopefully help people with my story a little bit and what God's brought me through. You guys have an amazing pastor and. Pastor Haley and Pastor Walker, I'm going to take a liberty here, sorry. But how many here know Pastor Walker's birthday? Not everybody. Let me encourage you. My pastor is Pastor Hagen. And every time he has a birthday, I send him a birthday card. And I put something in it. Now, he didn't tell me to do this. He's probably mad at me right now. But there's something about honoring those who are spiritually over you. Two things happened. It opens your heart up to receive, and it allows them to speak into your life. Now, the ministers that have taken advantage of that and used that as a tool to get money from people, that's wrong. We should do it out of our goodness of our heart, what we want to do. And I believe it's even more important to do honoring those spiritually over you than for giving to the poor. Well, how can you say that, Brother Yoder? Because when the women brought the year's worth of ointment and poured it on Jesus' feet, and he said, "The poor you always have with you," she was honoring Jesus. Amen? So let me encourage you to honor these pastors. Staff members, especially you staff members. I know they do work hard for you guys, but you guys need to honor them in the way you can. So I honor Pastor Hagen as an example on his birthday. I give him a card with nice words on it, but I put something in it. And it's not the amount. It opens up your heart to receive. So let me just encourage you that way. Amen?
All right. Amen.
And he didn't pay me for that. Okay. I'll take my $20. No.
Okay. Pastor Haley's birthday is May the 18th.
Amen.
That's our anniversary. October 5th. Okay.
October 5th, your birthday?
What's that?
Your birthday?
October 5th.
Let's say my father's.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good day.
You were here and talking to business leaders yesterday. Kind of as the journey that God brought you. And so we got to know you and your wife, Tracy. 10 years ago, Pastor Haley and I took a trip to Israel with Pastor Hagen and his wife. And there were a lot of different pastors and folks that were there. It was just an amazing time together. And Steve is on the board of Kenneth Hagen Ministries and Rhema Bible College USA. And so that's kind of how we got to know them and got connected. Also found out that some of our, at least I grew up not too far from where he grew up. And the people that kind of I grew up around were farmers, hardworking folks, and certain Christian religious beliefs that your dad had as well. So why don't we start, I guess all of our stories start with our families, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And so maybe we've got some pictures you can tell us.
So I talk about my family in my testimony, so we can show some pictures of my family. So there's my mom. She is still around, 92 years old, and mind is sharp. Physically, she needs a lot of help. A little bit like Auntie Sylvia. A little unfiltered. So it's pretty good. So. And there's a picture of my mom and my dad when he was around. He passed away 7 years ago. And part of the testimony as a family is we have the business, we have what the world considers success, but we get along. My brother and sisters and I own the company together, four of us. God's blessed us that way. So there's a picture of my lovely wife. I married way up, saying praise God. So she's a blessing. There's a picture of us.
There's guys here that would ask, how did you do it? Yeah.
It was the hairstyle? No. No, God brought her to me, thank God. So my wife is on the left in the back. I'm in the back of the table there. Then obviously my oldest son and his wife, Jenny. Then Noah is in the green shirt. Then my daughter, my oldest is daughter Whitney. Then Luke is a second year Bible student at Rhema USA. And again, we enjoy going to Aruba. We like that island. It's like, you know, when you go, you don't have to check the weather. It's always perfect. So, picture of my family, of my brothers and sisters and I. You know, the blessing, I'm the youngest of four. The best for last, as I tell my sisters and brothers. So, but there's only 5.5 years difference between myself and my oldest sister. So that does help in regards to leading my family. I like to say I'm the chief servant of all. I'm a chief servant to my family. And I think that's it. The business we have is roof trusses, wood structures for housing. And you can show that's kind of a picture of a house that assembled. The trusses are standing up. And we manufacture those, and then we form that, making that shape of the roof. You know, architects like to draw pretty pictures sometimes, and sometimes those cost more money. So then we design those on a CAD, and then out of wood we make that structure. So that's our business. 16 locations, 10 states in America. And over 900 employees. Amen.
Yeah. So it started with your dad.
Yes.
He started that business, and it grew. And when you became the leader, it's grown since then.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so I think it would be good to hear, because I think this is an exciting morning, because you remember we talked about living generationally? And we looked all throughout the Word of people that did that well or poorly. Mm-hmm. And so we get to see a family that did that because of God. Mm-hmm. Because of God's Word and principles. Yeah. And they're not done living generationally with their kids and with the business that God's entrusted to them.
Amen.
Yeah. So your dad, we don't really have Amish in Zambia. The closest we have is the Brethren in Christ in Southern Province. Anabaptists historically, so they were awesome because they believed in adult baptism, mm-hmm. Didn't believe in going to war. But I went to a high school with folks like this, very, very conservative. They would drive black cars because green and red was worldly.
Yeah, well, no chrome.
Yeah, no chrome.
Yeah, the monochrome. So they monochrome before it was cool to monochrome. So.
Yeah, and not because it was cool. Cool was sinful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But among these folks, super, super hardworking. I mean, they can pretty much work anybody under the table. So your dad grew up with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he worked for his uncle, right?
For his brother-in-law.
Oh, his brother-in-law. Yeah. So how did he kind of get started in business and then in following the Lord?
When he first got married, they married Mennonite. He was Amish on the farm, and they married Mennonite. And soon after that, there was a group of about 100 people that were seeking after God and the gospel. You know, and seeking out, and knew there's more than just the religion that was being taught. And about half of them, about 50 of them, believed there was the experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. And the other half didn't believe that, so that 100 split. Well, that 100 that went and didn't talk about the Holy Spirit, I don't know what happened to that church. The church that went after the Holy Spirit is still around to this day. And I didn't share this morning, but out of that fellowship, about 4 millionaires came out of that fellowship.
Wow.
Including my father.
Wow.
And but it was interesting. This John Schrock was the minister, and he was teaching how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and didn't have it himself.
Hmm.
That's how interesting it is. So they're seeking God for the Holy Spirit. And mom and dad are laying in bed one night saying, God, because they're told by their family and what they've been advised by everyone around them is that the Holy Spirit is of the devil and speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
What's that, you know? So they're asking the Holy Spirit, is this God, is this really real? And they both had the same experience where honey came over their top of the head to the soles of their feet as they laid in bed. And dad saw the outline of India in red. And
not like Zambia gold honey.
Honey,
like
yeah.
It felt like honey.
Yeah, it felt like honey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, gold too, but yeah. Anyway. But and so he saw the outline in red of India. And well, this is before he started the business. This is before anything else. And over the years, as he knew that was his start with this mission support. We did a children's orphanage there, and still to this day. We started with an orphanage there in the Chennai area, and in the Maranatha ministry, he traveled there. He made 13 trips over there. Well, I just completed my 13th trip to India in August. Amen?
Amen.
Yep. And generationally, my son heard the words India at youth camp, the one that's at Rhema, in between his junior and senior year of high school at a youth camp. And so he's been in India with me now. My mother at the same time was pregnant with my younger sister, Janice, leaped in her womb. And so Janice was a children's pastor for over 22 years. Phenomenal. Now she is sharing the gospel. She travels with me. She was actually at the school with me this time. She has not been to India with me, but she's been to other places, including Lebanon, and teaching on the children's ministry and the importance of ministry, because many times, Pastor Walker understands this, but many pastors it's hard to spend money on children's when there's no offering from the children, right? So, of course, I heard your children actually raised money for the building,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
With jobs.
Yeah.
That was good. So,
but
yeah.
Kids, M kids, so they're the advantage is they're a lot cuter than us. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Childlike faith. Yeah, yeah, I know.
At least until they get home. And yeah. So your father, so he was a carpenter by trade,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
And he had that skill, but then God kind of led him to do things, you could say, on his own or to expand.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was working for his brother-in-law, my mom's older brother, and they were, you know, putting garage on the weekends. Him and my mom would put these garage doors together, and it was a bunch of screws. It didn't come prepackaged, and so one person normally would do one a day. Well, my father was proficient. He found a tool that would do the wrench faster, and Mom would had it all organized, and they put three together in one day. He went to his brother-in-law to get paid, and his brother-in-law says, it's too much money to pay you for one day. But he paid the other guys that took forever to do it. So Dad thought, he just said, okay. He didn't argue with him. He just, peaceful, right? Like Abraham, Lot, you choose. I know God's my blessing.
Mm.
And so he saw a trade magazine in the article about trusses and manufacturing, and went down and investigated that, invested in that, and borrowed. I mean, the mortgage company put down even the ironing board as a list of things that would be lost, and then borrowed from friends and different people, and went for it, jumped off, no plan B, it's do or die. So, but and then God's taken it from there, pretty much, and just led him all the way. So
he's growing the business, raising a family, and then somewhere in the 70s, so this affected my family as well, and Pastor Haley's family. There was an organization called the Full Gospel Businessmen, and it was interdenominational, and it was very charismatic Pentecostal. And it was really vibrant in our town. And the head of that, Demos Shakarian, became good friends with Kenneth E. Hagin Sr. And he started speaking at their meetings and conventions. And so your father began to listen and follow Brother Hagin.
Actually, but Dad was a regional director for Full Gospel. So he had a chapter he ran. And every month they would get together and have their chapter meetings. And Brother Hagin traveled in that circle. And the first time he heard him, he said, "This is different than I've ever heard anything else." He was already in business, successful, but only to a point. And he credits our great success as a business to grow him beyond himself. You know, people talk about business. I'm in business. Okay, are you self-employed, or can you walk away from your business, have people run things for you? Two different things. So anyway, so he went from a self-employed truss manufacturer to a business that can run itself and manage other people. But he credits that transition to the teachings of Brother Hagin and that foundation challenging him because, that's all. That's good enough.
Yeah. So the things of the Spirit, the things of trusting God are not just for a church service. They should be in a church service, but they're for the factory.
Amen.
They're for business meetings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so your dad joined the board of Rhema. Brother Hagin invited him.
Yeah. When he heard him the first time, he started traveling out for camp meeting. In 75, 76. I know that because I was there and I had t-shirts from that time. They also had the t-shirts, you remember? And so in 79, Brother Hagin asked him to be part of the board, and he was part of the board until he passed away, so 40 years. And the honor for me was I actually served on the board with my father for like 3 years before he passed.
Yeah.
And so it was, it's neat. And it's an honor for me to serve right now to them. So.
Amen. So Your father had some values of how to do business.
Yes.
And those values got passed on. They've been even expanded and developed. And I want you to speak about, you could just say doing business from the Bible.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us, I think even Christians, sometimes we see that the purpose of business is to get us money.
Yeah.
Or our job is a transaction. So I go and I put up with all the crazy people and everything, but I get a paycheck.
Yeah.
And now I've got something I want. But your family and what you all live out is that it's something much broader and deeper and more meaningful than just a financial return.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Amen. So my father always knew that he always knew the business was there for him to support the gospel. So ever since they've started the business and had a profit, he actually was tithing.
From the business or personally?
Both.
Okay.
So that's another story.
Yeah.
So even personally myself, the business tithes, but when I receive my funds, I tithe again. Well, the business tithe for me. So you don't do it again, do you? Well, I want to be blessed. You want to be blessed on every wave? Well, you give on every wave. And so my father gave and started that foundation. Actually, the foundation was started because we almost sold the business. That's why people ask, well, I want to start a foundation. Well, there's taxes and different things, rules to those foundations. The advantage of having a foundation is only the timing of it. We can give as a business to that foundation and not give all the money away and still have the tax deduction. That's the rules in America. I don't know how the rules in Zambia are. So, but they almost sold the business, and then he backed out at the last minute and said, you know what, this is not right. And But the foundation was really established because that's how they were going to avoid the taxes for the sale, is give it to the foundation. So, but the principles, you know, I guess.
Yeah. So sometimes in business, people, we feel like if I win, I get the money, then somebody else has to lose.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the customer or competitors or whatever, or cheat the government out of taxes or something like that.
Right.
So your family has a philosophy that everybody wins.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what does that look like?
It's as a family and as an owner of the business, I want my people blessed. Okay, we had the downturn, the crisis of the shutdown, and lumber was around $400 a thousand on average. It raised, it went from that to about $1,500 a thousand. Well, that's over triple. Okay, so half of my cost to do business is my lumber cost. So as that raised up, I have salespeople on commissions. I have people, based on the bottom line. But if you structure it properly, if they make money, you should make money if you have the right structure. So that's what I focus on, is that structure. Well, when they were making sometimes triple what they were before because they're on a commission, if you sell a house package or the trust system for so much money based on the price of lumber at here, and now that lumber triples, the price is over, it's some doubled and tripled what it was before. Well, the commissions, it's still the same percentage, but what do the dollars do? They triple. So I had salespeople that are making triple what they did before. And I knew it would correct itself because lumber came down. Now it's about $500 a thousand. But I had competitors around me and different people that change their commission for people. And, you know, and that's kind of, that's the world's way, because, well, that position only pays so much. Yeah, that's true. We try to follow that to a certain point. But when it got extreme like that, man, I love it. I love having my people blessed. And then when they talk to their other salesmen, did they cut your commission? No. Oh, right. They cut my commission, right? So.
But just to clarify, when you say you love for your people to be blessed, that blessing is coming out of the company you own.
Absolutely.
It's not coming from like manna from heaven.
It's
leaving the company.
Yeah, it's costing me money.
Yeah, right.
I mean, my managers had record pay. I had my one key manager. He set up a trust account that it's a dynasty trust, where his grandchildren will be able to benefit from that trust for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
And for to continue for his family. And that's for his family. And we're talking, that's millions that set up for him.
So generationally, it's not just you, but it's also the people
absolutely
that work for you that
absolutely
have that mindset.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my top people, our bonuses start after the tithe. And they agree to that because they better be on board with it or they wouldn't work with me. So that's the way it is. Now, my managers at the local, at the plant level, I don't push that on them because not all of them are. I don't promote just because they're a believer. I do have good people around me. Even my top people believe in Jesus, have a relationship with Christ. Don't necessarily believe in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. You're still going to heaven. I'm not worried about that. But as a family, we get along. That's part of a testimony. One thing we do every Monday morning, we gather together and actually pray together as a family with my mom. And we pray for the salvation of every one of our employees. Now, the foundation supports missions, schools like this all over the world. There's like around 50 of them right now. Our primary support's still Rhema, but it's a big commitment.
Mm.
You talked about savings. In 2003, 4, and 5, we had some tremendous years to the point where we were making more money than what mom and dad were. Usually they just gave everything away. And that's okay. But I said, well, just let it build up. Not knowing what happened in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. 4 years of, it was a tremendous time. I found out that I did trust the Lord. Mm. And I became a steward of what He gave me. It allowed me to work on the business. If the pressure of it being me, you can't work under that, right? So I'm a steward of what God's given me, and blessed us. So I forgot my thought now. But that's okay.
Well, just so that folks know, 2008, 2009 in Zambia, the price of copper collapsed. Yeah. That was when we were building this building, and we certainly had some fun days building this building during that time. But in the States, there was a housing collapse. Yeah. So people just simply stopped building houses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's who you're selling to.
So we lived through that. And but during that time, we had our financial commitments that we made to the from the foundation to the missionaries and ministries all over the world, including Rhema. And they didn't miss one offering in 4 years.
Wow.
And I had missionaries. Yeah, amen. Amen. I had missionaries come up to me later on. They said, we didn't know you were going through a tough time. I said, yeah, because you got the check.
Yeah.
So, but if we wouldn't have saved at that time, we wouldn't have had it for the time we needed it. Just like Joseph was led and helped 7 years of abundance for 7 years of lack to save God's people.
Yeah.
And part of what I share with that sometimes is nothing wrong with a savings account. And, you know, I want to qualify this. You have cell groups, you have family, you have neighbors. You don't have to pray about helping them. That's not what I'm talking about. But when people, there's always people, when they know you're giving, there are always people approaching you, coming at me. And I just tell them, I said, you know, I'm not led by need. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. And if I wasn't led by the Holy Spirit and I'm led by need, the foundation wouldn't have the reserves in it to make it through those times. So, you know, sure there's, we want to do good, like he talked about with the offering. We want to do good with our money. We want to be a blessing, but we cannot be led by needs all the time, because the needs are always be there. Mm-hmm. The poor will always be with us. So, and perspective, okay, what's a need? Okay, yeah, I need a new pair of shoes, or what does my wife, we tease each other. One time I have a lot of different cars. So I got in a car and she was reaching around. She didn't realize it had a seat warmer on it, but she thought it was an older truck. And she thought it didn't have a seat warmer. She goes, oh, where's my bun warmer? Where's my seat warmer? I'm like, sweetheart, first world problems. Come on.
Yeah.
I said, it's on your side. But anyway, perspective, right?
Yeah. So you mentioned to me that people would sometimes ask your dad, you know, how did you grow the business? How did this happen?
Oh, yeah.
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 And there was somebody that was... had a lot of technical thoughts or whatever. Sure. But yeah, what was your dad's, reason?
My dad had breakfast with a gentleman one time, and he's a Christian businessman. And he did the Kaizen, you know, the organization methods, and he's trying to run a real professional business, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, my dad was just a simple person. And I loved hearing he would share his testimony, but it was always so simple. And the guy goes, well, what was your key to success? And Dad goes, well, I don't know. I worked hard and I went to church. That's it.
Not a third thing.
Not a third thing.
Yeah.
Not seven lists of how to do this.
Yeah.
I worked hard, went to church. And think about that. And he said, and many times we had a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night service at the Pentecostal church we were at. And that church that you grew up in, 45 minutes one-way drive.
Hmm.
I know, because I was in the car as a kid. Oh, do we have to go to church? Ah. Okay. So, you know, so you drug to church. Okay. And so Dad said, if I missed that Wednesday night service when he was so busy in the business doing everything himself and really growing the business, he said, the rest of the week was so much harder. Just getting in God's presence for that one service in the Wednesday night, he said, it just made the whole week a lot easier for him. So
yeah. So right now, so if there's two keys, work hard, go to church. Well, we've all gone to church today, so congratulations.
Yes, you're halfway there.
You can tick off that one. All right. So your work ethic. So you don't mess around, and you when it's work time, it's work time.
Yep.
Did your dad send you to a class? Did he give you a book to learn how to work? Watch a video series?
The foot? I don't know. Get busy. I started. I never had an allowance. Probably the only thing my wife and I ever had a difference of opinion. I mean, say it was a disagreement. She was raised with an allowance.
Spending money for kids. Yeah.
I didn't get an allowance. I got a time card to punch. Mm. So I was eight when I started, 8 years old. Every summer since then, I worked in the shop, and I swept the first 2 years. I was just sweeping the shop, and Dad would give me $5 for the whole shop. A big building, probably 12, 13, 15,000 square foot building. It's a lot of work. So it'd take you all day, maybe 2 days. I don't know. I farted around as a little kid, you know. And then as I got older, I was 10 years old, and Javen, my brother's 12, and he brings us out to the foreman, brand new foreman, Rick. And Rick looks at him and goes, what do you do with them? He goes, work them. Walked away. Thanks, Dad. So we got all the prestige jobs. No. All the jobs no one wanted. That's what we got to do. Mm. So, and that work ethic was instilled, and that's what I endeavored to instill in my children. And I'm blessed because my children don't come back to me for money. Amen. I'm not an ATM. The money tree stopped when he went out the door.
Mm.
And so now as they go to school, we support them. My youngest son, who's at Rhema, he goes to school in the morning, and in the afternoon he's spending time designing trusses remotely. So he works for the business doing that. And then Noah's now working. That's a whole other story there.
Let me ask. So he designs trusses.
Mm-hmm.
Does he make the same as the other people who design trusses that don't have the same last name, surname?
He probably makes less.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably didn't get paid. When I was growing up, I didn't get paid near what other people got paid.
Mm.
So, but that's just part of it. So I knew I was called to it. So stick with it. So, but God's faithful. So
are you glad you got a work ethic from your dad?
Oh, absolutely.
The hard way?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Somebody put it this way one time. The only place where increase comes before work, the only place that happens is in the dictionary. It's not in real life.
Amen.
So maybe just, I think we're running out of time, but it would be really good, I think, for people to hear as you, so you're working in the family business, you're aware of what it is, but now you've got a career choice. You've got a decision. What has God called me to do?
Mm-hmm.
What's my purpose in life? And
so
how did you settle on that you knew that's where God wanted you?
Well, when I was in high school, I think I was a junior or senior. I believe I was 18. My father just looked at me in his office one time. He goes, you know, you're the one that's going to run the business. And I said, oh, okay. I mean, I'm still working in the shop, you know, every summer. So I hadn't even been in the office yet, which I was not a good transition in the office because I couldn't hardly sit still. Honestly, I was probably ADD when I was a kid.
Before it was a thing.
Before, you know, they'd have put me on Ritalin right now. So, but thank God I didn't go that route.
So your dad saw that call.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I went to Rhema. My brother and sister, Janice and Javen, my sister Wendy got married at 19, so she never went. But my other two siblings did go to Rhema. And I didn't go then. I knew it wasn't time. You know, just like anything else, you're led by, you know, the inward witness. Even Brother Hagin, 7 times a visitation from Jesus, and what did he tell us? Right here, most of the time, even for himself. So when I went, it was when no family was there. And I know now why, because I needed that time by myself, that separation. And so second year I chose missions, not knowing that I was going in the mission field. Or ever would be here. I thought, well, we support missions. I'll go into missions so I at least understand what's going on. Never had a desire to be in the pulpit or in a teaching position at all. Actually resisted that pretty strongly. But then God led me, and through some encouragement, some other people, and my wife, yes, go preach. Go preach. I'm like, And so... didn't want to do that, but I've been obedient to do that, and God's blessed me from that. It's interesting. I didn't do it the first service, but I will do it now. So this is a paper that I wrote for Ralph Hagemeyer.
Yep.
And did he pass away yet, or is
he's still around? Right.
He tried to retire, and he's still over here.
He's next door in Congo right now.
Yeah.
Yep. With his wife.
So I wrote. He asked to write a picture about. A paper about what the ideal missionary meant to you. I thought, okay, I can do this, no problem. So this is back when he actually had a typewriter, not the computer, you know, the old IBM. Yep, that's what I did it on. So number one, spiritually grounded in the Word. Yeah, that sounds good, right? Has a deep relationship with God. Yes. Has a heart for the people with unmistakable agape love. But number four, when I read this after being obedient to the mission field, I started weeping. Financially independent. But it says, my ultimate desire to go minister to others through teaching and preaching. It would be a blessing for me to go minister to the church or a group of people and not depend upon the offering to make it. Paul did that, right? He went and said, I bless you and I'm not required anything from you. And I said, just bless the people and leave and not be a financial burden to them. Don't misunderstand me. I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do or go wherever he wants me to go. But I'm desirous to be able to go to another without itinerating, blessing people right where they're at. And I'm willing to itinerate if necessary. Satan is the god of this world. It would be great to take his biggest hindrance away from missions is finances. So wow. I'm a self-funded missionary, right? And God has blessed me with that. And I was prophesying over myself, even though I didn't know it.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Amen.
Now, for many of us in this room, you know, we've got some type of work or financial plan, or there's students that are working hard. We have desires to be a husband, a wife, parents, or we are already. And sometimes it feels like if I do one well, then I won't do the other one well.
Right,
so how have you been successful in business, done what God wanted you to do in ministry, but also, you know, when we see the picture of your family, they're all smiling.
They're still smiling, even though I make them work.
Yeah. Pastor Haley knows your wife, and she seems happy. I don't think she can fake it that long.
10 years of faking.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So how do you be a good husband and a good dad when you've got a lot of work to do?
First of all, my wife and I are in agreement, right? A lot of people have come to me for advice, and you know, with their issues with their small business starting out. The problem is many times they've come to me already after they already made decisions to do stuff, sign contracts, and one of my first questions is, what does your wife think about this? My wife? I said, yeah, your wife, your better half. You know, God sees you as one. That's what the Word of God tells us. So my wife and I are in agreement, especially when I start traveling. I travel for the business, but then I travel for the mission field. I mean, that's a bigger commitment. Now you're 3 weeks. You know, you go all the way to India. You're spending the time to make it worth your while to go that far. And so we were in agreement. So she said, you're anointed to go and I'm anointed to stay. Kick me out the door.
Yeah.
So she was in agreement with that. And then the family, and then she would, you know, tell the kids, daddy's gone, to do what she needs to do for the ministry. And but when I'm home, I'm trying to spend time. I try to spend time with him, you know, really interact with him and, you know, teach him how to change a tire in a car. Teach him how to turn a wrench. My kids are proficient. They're not ignorant of doing things. So.
And they learned that from you.
Absolutely. Mow the lawn. Get busy.
Okay.
So anyway, so but just as an example, I know it's funny. Well, I talked about birthdays with you guys even earlier, but my birthday was in June, but my allowance was the time clock, right? So I went to school and for the summers from beginning of June all the way to September, now it's earlier in August, that was my way of making money. No other way of making money. So paid for my first car, paid for my insurance, bought my gas, and when I first got married, my birthday is on June 21st, first day of summer, summer solstice, right? And I was going to work, and she goes, what are you doing? It's your birthday. I says, so? She goes, that's so sad. We celebrate our birthdays, you know. So she makes a big deal of birthdays. I never have, so it's interesting culturally. But work ethic is important to teach. And I think the biggest thing for me is I am not different when I go home. I go home, my kids see who I am and what I am. They know my flaws. I don't try to hide that from them. If I make a mistake with my child, I apologize to them.
You're allowed to do that as
a
dad?
Yeah. Very much so, and I recommend it highly. Because honestly, it's funny. You may have a front here, but your children in the children's church, those workers know everything about you. So, kids know, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Well, we've run out of time again.
Yeah.
But what I want this to be a time where Steve prays for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
And wherever you are, if you say, well, I think I'm just still sweeping the broom, and I'm just learning how to work and learning, or you may be here and you're running a business and you've got employees, but there's help for you and guidance for you, but also to be able to have a home and a family that glorifies God, that brings joy and peace into your life.
Amen.
And God, He wants that for you. And so just ask Steve to pray for you and to speak a blessing over your work and your career and your family.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. Father God, we're just so grateful. First of all, Father, we thank you for sending your Son that we have salvation. We thank you for the sacrifice you've made for us. Father God, I just speak over everyone here and under the sound of my words, Father God, a blessing on their life, that they will have the understanding and clarity of your plan for their life. Father God, we know everyone has a plan, and I pray that they will know the plan that you have for them, and they'll walk those things out, Lord Father God. I thank you that you'll bless their families, bless them as they endeavor to follow after your will for their lives, Lord Father God. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just amen. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Amen. Why don't we just keep praying just with every head...